Returning tonight in a subject is knowing thy covenant with death, with hell. The 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The Most High speaks unto your race. The word of Yahweh said, ye scornful men, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. The overflowing scourge shall pass through, and it shall not come unto us, for we've made lies our refuge, and falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness unto the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, your agreement with hell shall not stand, and the overflowing scourge that shall pass through shall be trodden down. Now these prophecies upon the part of Isaiah are made unto your race. They have a very peculiar significance in the history of your race over the last 45 to 50 years. Most especially is it true when you understand who you are. Know your relationship to God's kingdom and to the establishment of the orders of righteousness in the midst of the earth. When I talk to you about the covenant with death and with hell, probably no period in history since that of the hour of the birth of the Red Revolution has had such a threatening and ominous position as it relates to your Christian faith, nor has it had such an expanding design for the overthrow and conquest of Christian nations. We are watching over the periods from the time of the overthrow of the Tsar and the rise of the Soviet to this hour, a gradual program of expansion which was greatly accelerated when we came to World War II. In fact, the expanse with which the Soviet Union has gained authority and power in the earth, its territories and the areas of the earth in which communism controls, is much greater today than any other time in history. And since the end of World War II, the gain of communism in land and in territories and over nations is over 2.5 times greater than the sum total of all the lands under communism before the war started. In fact, their gains during the war were not as great as the gains which they have made since the war, for they have enhanced their power by over twice the amount of land which they have previously held. I think it's quite consistent for us to recognize that there is no relationship between we as a great Christian nation and a program which would be endorsed of God for your union with any non-Christian nation upon the face of the earth. The powers of darkness which today seek to engulf your nation is seeking to forcibly deepen your relationship to a world international union and the establishment of the sovereignty of such a little government in the hands of those that created it over every one of your nations of freedom today or all the nations of the Western world. We're in a very strange and unusual situation. This nation, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth for a long period of time, and still technically the greatest producing nation on the face of the earth, is still at this hour in one of the gravest conditions of crisis in all of its history. If it were not for our absolute faith and prophecy and the fulfillment of God's purposes and the mighty destiny that is carved out for your nation, I would say that the course that your nation is on and the rate in which it has been traveling upon this course would spell its complete and utter doom, and would bring upon it the same kind of catastrophe that has swept over nations and empires in the past. If you are not a great nation of God's kingdom, whose outstretched wings of the American eagle have been prophesied in the 12th chapter of Revelation, would come out with great leadership to guide nations against the powers of darkness and to defeat the forces of the dragon and the forces of the serpent, I would say, were it not for this omniscience of God, this element of divine destiny, that you had already passed the point of no return and that you would be on the way to being completed. And when you have eventually triumphed over the forces of darkness, the great stimulation of God has caused the cleansing of your land, which is inevitable, you can again say, thanks be unto God who accomplished this by the stirring up of his people by his Spirit, by the intervention of the forces of righteousness out of the heavenlies, and by divine intervention. Because I can tell you that as fast we appear to be passing the point of no return, and with it is coming the demonstrations of how a nation loses its leadership and its initiative as it falls into these traps. There can be no doubt, however, that the sovereignty of the divine plan, the purposes which he has, have called for a great spiritual stimulating awakening in your nation. When we look back over a nation such as ours, in which our founding fathers dedicated their design in this nation, colony after colony, to establishing a great permanent Christian society. They came here to build a nation in the course of time that would establish the fulfillment of their vision. In the days of George Washington, they saw that ideal symbol of messianic building as the new order of the ages, the very symbol of God's kingdom, and that this great nation was to carry out that destiny. Prophecy declared it would. Prophecies already declared that this great nation, the outstretched wings of the eagle, shall be one of the present leaders of the day when all the powers of darkness and Antichrist have fallen down. But strangely enough, there are many things that some people do not understand. One might speak upon the subjects that relate to communism over and over again and still not exhaust this fabulous, endless story of conspiracy and intrigue that's so beyond in its cunning the average perception of what the Anglo-Saxon Aryan mind would conceive, that because there is a lacking of that treachery in your nature that is so common to your enemies, you have to have the thing outlined before you and witness every phase of it before you can conceive that there are people as they exist in the world today who are so diametrically opposite to you. I think it should be understood, though, that when you understand the difference between the children of God, who are the issue of His very Spirit, and those who seem satanically empowered to carry out the blueprint of their Father who they serve, that you will understand why these things can be. If you recognize in the writings of modern Talmudic reading that they recognize that your devil is their God, and your God of love and of mercy and of grace and of power and of miracles manifested the man Christ Jesus is their Lucifer and their Satan, you have the contrast today which marks the difference between Christ and Antichrist. And you can expect no better out of the concept of your enemy than the master who he serves, and the cunning which makes up the background of the philosophy of evil will be used against you at every turn. You will recognize the majesty of God's creative purposes and see a God of love and a majesty, but a God of firmness, righteousness, and justice. At the same time, think in terms of agreement and of fair play. You think in terms of rules by which the kingdom of God is governed, and you try to apply the rules of the kingdom to those outside the kingdom and discover that they do not keep these rules and regulations because they are not stimulated by the spiritual force of the abiding, guiding presence of your Father. They are not spirit of His Spirit, nor are they life of His life, and because of this, they do not respond accordingly. Now, probably, as we look back over these situations, no single point in our history was quite as deadly as in the early hours of President Roosevelt's administration. He made one of the great mistakes of all time. For it was President Roosevelt who entered into a covenant with death and with hell. You say, how do you identify that covenant? Because up until this time, world communism spreading over the world had liquidated over 7 million Christians by a direct act of liquidation and execution because they would not give up their faith in Christ. In all the history of the persecutions and the design to destroy the church, which has been led by Jewry from the days of Christ to your time, probably no greater mass program of execution against Christians was ever directed than that under the rising Soviet Union in the Red Revolution in those years which followed. In fact, we will never know the unlisted millions and millions that were put to death by this revolution. We only know that they put 7 million to death by direct executionary processes because they refused to surrender their faith in Christ, irrespective of whether it was Greek, Orthodox, or Catholic, or what phase of denominational existing concept it was born in. These men refused to give up their faith in Christ and chose rather a martyr's death than to surrender before this force of Antichrist. When you recognize that this great Christian nation our forefathers brought forth here was born in a realization that we were a race with a destiny and with a responsibility, born with a realization that upon the foundations of prayer and the guidance of God's Word, the inspiration of His Spirit, and the realization that we were His children, He could say, Our Father which art in heaven, this nation grew in strength. It has been a continual struggle for as far as your national existence is concerned to preserve all these patterns of your heritage. There has been a consistent invasion of your nation of unassimilatable people. People that hate your God, that hate your faith, and hate your race. We do not have to quibble about these. We can stay right at the beginning of these sermon, who it is and what it is that marks this invasion, this warfare against you. But basically speaking, the powers that dominate, control, created, financed, and distributed the Red Revolution with their international, economic, political power designed to reduce all the world under this system to extreme slavery, eradicate the Christian faith from the face of the earth, and ultimately bring all men down into the darkness of their own soul's lack of light. This was their strategy and their design. In the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt who appointed the first group of brain trusters as a super cabinet to the office which they held. One thing that's rather significant, even in the editorial page of United States News for this week, they point out that the President of the United States has made some very grave decisions. He has lost the confidence of the peoples of this nation, even at this present time. And they said, why? Is it because people just distrust him, or people don't like him as an individual? It's basically because they don't like the people that he's appointed to the majority of jobs in the administration of this government. And because they don't like the people he's appointed, and they don't like the way they think, and they don't like the way they act, and they don't like the president's acquiescence to their evil concepts and ideas, that America has lost confidence in the Kennedy administration and is losing confidence fast in the things that is attempting to accomplish. And so we point out to you that that editorial in the United States News this past week is very interesting, because it is quite true that the majority of those appointed by the Kennedy administration have been non-Christian. If there's any one thing I want you to remember tonight, as we said this afternoon, when you survey the problems that affect America, it is a non-Christian created revolution of evil. It is a significant thing there that when the majority of these jobs are held by non-Christians, then the catastrophe of their administrative efforts is a non-Christian catastrophe. I want you to know that when we survey the problems even of this hour, the catastrophe has largely been of non-Christian building. The days when the brain trust were put into office by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, after they had met in Indiana and designed how they were going to do this, the secret power from behind the scenes, whose international manipulation of money had bought conventions and set up the program and bought to control the press and dominated the original election program, had paid for, created the smear, had created the depression, had laid the blame upon the President of the United States, Mr. Hoover, and then transferred this into a massive design to elect the man who they had already secured agreement from that he would take their advice and he would follow their course. You today may be a worshiper at the shrine of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but it is not important whether you are or not. The important thing is that you know the truth, and that should shake some of your hero worship, but that's where you still hold that was a great leadership. For I point out to you that one of the gravest errors in our national history was when this man appointed the brain trust. And that brain trust eventually were appointed to executive positions, men like the Frankfurters and the Morgenthaus and the Richbergs and a great number of others that we can name. Men who eventually made the Supreme Court, who actually used their influence to bring communist leadership to Washington, which ended up inside the State Department and finally were the first organizers and directors of the United Nations. We must not forget also that the control of the Treasury and the Department of Labor in these areas soon fell into the hands of Jews, enemies of our way of life. Never before in history had so many Jews held so much power. But if that was a catastrophe in the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, it seemed to hold on over Mr. Truman, who was just a hangover of the old regime and had very little initiative of his own. In the days of Mr. Eisenhower, he not only carried down the same dynasty, but today it sounds rather strange to me to hear Mr. Eisenhower denouncing Mr. Kennedy for things he was not only equally guilty of, but may have created even equally greater menaces because of his mismanagement of the situations in Europe and his creating of the Iron Curtain and the Soviet Union's occupancy of Christian nations. And when I think today of the fact that the present President of the United States has demonstrated not only an inaptitude to serve the cause of this nation right, but has appointed more and more and more of these brain clusters of Lucifer to positions of great danger, it makes us recognize that the salvation of America is not going to come from Kennedy, it's going to come from Christ. I point out that one of the grave official errors of error upon the part of Mr. Roosevelt's regime was when he did something that every previous president, from President Wilson on down, had refused to do. Something that his brain trusters advised him to do. Something that had been carefully designed by the International Financial Clique to finance the revolution, and that was the eventual recognition of that revolution. The millions of people behind the Iron Curtain in the agony and in the misery of the martyrdom and the persecutions and the loss of loved ones and their families, the suppression of churches, the deadliness with which men had to even worship in secret if they were not yet discovered and destroyed, and throughout all the world the hope that someday communism would be wiped out and destroyed, and throughout Asia where they had somewhat resisted communism because of their own interests and their own areas of leadership or administration. Now the great problem was on the horizon. What was going to transpire now? And then suddenly the President of the United States recognizes Soviet Russia, the most powerful single Christian nation on the face of the earth, recognizes the House of Antichrist. What strange forebodings must have filled the hearts of Christians who lived along the border of this slumbering giant with the masses of Asia, which were in the master plan of international Jewry, to add to the hordes of their newfound giant to invade and conquer Christianity. Remember that it was organized Jewry who left Venice after their secret meetings and helped to create and strengthen the hands of Genghis Khan, that made alliances, that threw open the doors of Samarkand, Baghdad, and other areas for the hordes of the Khan, the traders who came within with their merchandise and opened the gates at night, their design, their goal, the conquest of Christian Europe, the sharing in the spoils, and the breaking down of the one area of opposition that had disturbed their satanic souls from the very beginning. And that was the growing strength of Christianity, the mighty power of the gospel of God, whose administrative demonstration of love had been unequaled in all history with the consummations of Calvary and the power of his resurrection. But out of these forces of evil, they could not stop this design of theirs to crush and wipe out this civilization of the sons and daughters of God and to eliminate their influence on the earth. Long had the world been held in the sway of darkness. The nations of Asia had been under the control of evil priests who represented the various pagan religions of the world. The graft, the greed, and the misery which they had caused were unlimited. Men unable to rise above it found that the power of these evil forces dominated their lives in Asia as they dominated it through witchcraft in Africa. And there was one thing that was feared more by satanic legions than all else, that this mighty gospel of the eternal King of Kings, which promised not only grace and amnesty to the earth, but promised a kingdom of supply and of blessing, who told the story of a day when men would know no grief and know no sorrow and know no fear, when men would not live by scarcity but by plenty, and when the laws of God practiced would bring these things into reality. And so the powers of darkness have designed from the beginning to destroy all nations of Christian civilization and all the great terminal point nations that God raises up for positions of leadership. How they hated Germany because it had long been a barrier against the hordes of Asia that they'd sought to bring in. How they hated Britain because its ships sailed to the far corners of the earth, and because of the strength of its commerce, the power of its testimony, they were carrying the message of a better life and of a greater God and of a mighty power to the ends of the earth. How they hated America because here in America, with the unlimited resources, the widening expanse, the vision and the courage, a nation of superior technological ability had suddenly arisen above the historical records of time. Here was a nation dedicated to liberty. Here was a nation who identified itself as a nation of God, who had God in its pledges, who had God in its allegiance, who had God in its anthems, who had God in its prayer, and who had God in its schools as well as in its churches, and God in its home. This the powers of darkness feared, because this God was identified with Jesus Christ. I point out to you then that the strategy was long and of old. And when they created their red revolution, they had promised that they were going to sweep God out of the skies. This said Stalin. This said Khrushchev. This, my friends in between, said many of the forces like Beria, the secret priest, and others who had ruled in the interim. Lenin had dedicated himself to this. Trotsky was a part of the same revolution. From the days of Marx, the materialistic philosophy had only been augmented by the power of Jewry's design to rule the world, to sweep Christ and Christianity out of the lives of the peoples of earth and supplant it with their own peculiar sect of evil. The rather strange thing then of that a president of the United States, raised in the Episcopal tradition of the Church in these United States, would so become the tool of men who knew his desire for power, that they promised to elect him if he in turn would appoint them as advisors to positions of office. And it started America on a great downward train to problem and trouble which we face at this time. I want you to know not only the appointees that went in were not prepared for this task except by the forces of evil, but I want you to know that afterwards the recognition of Soviet Russia demonstrated that these advisors were doing the work of evil, and this man was being influenced by the voice that whispers from the depths of hell. You may well remember that during those years of administration, there came into the United States all types of foreign refugees, almost all of them enemies of Jesus Christ, Jews from every part of the world. It was at that time we were invaded by the Rosenbergs, and then we were invaded by a great number of others. Remember, even Felix Frankfurter is an Austrian Jewish refugee in these United States. Remember that this man was the attorney for the communists way back in the days when the Secret Service first found their records on the shores of Lake Michigan. Remember, it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt that, in packing the court, setting aside the very vital decisions of that court in areas of constitutionality, put Felix Frankfurter upon the Supreme Court bench. A man who not only had directed and assisted the defenses of the communists in the United States, but was to put communists in high office and give you Alger Hiss, who helped to create the great and mighty monster of the United Nations. We point out that in this period of time, it wasn't long until Anna Rosenberg was a person of influence. And by the way, the other day we had an announcement that should let you understand how deep-rooted some of these organizations are. We've talked to you about the international banking regime. We've talked to you about how international bankers operate now, the master creating force that built the world revolution, set up inside the United States all kinds of fifth columns, help create and gain control of your financial reserves, and then move on from that. Created councils of foreign affairs and the Rhodes Scholars with which they staffed it with a design to create a little government that they could dominate, carried out their programs and helped to administer the creation of all kinds of endowments and funds. And from these funds and from these endowed funds, they have been selling revolution to America on tax-free institutions, endowments of great funds. I cannot help but remember that it wasn't long ago that one of the officials in Studebaker was moved out of that plant into the directing of one of these endowment funds, and you heard the name of Hoffman, and Hoffman's tied up with every left-wing and liberal program. Well, they just announced last week that he's engaged to marry Anna Rosenberg. Now, you know there must be some connection here. Nobody ever looked at Anna Rosenberg and fell in love with her. Of course, I should eliminate that statement. I should say that at one time it was apparent that Mr. Eisenhower was infatuated with her, or the power that she represented. But if you go back and read Eisenhower as my boss, you will find that it was Anna Rosenberg who traveled all over Europe with Mr. Eisenhower during the war. They point out to you, however, that Anna Rosenberg, the communist, who said she wasn't a communist, but was a member of all kinds of organizations and institutions and fronters for the Communist Party, identified by them as their Anna, is one of the sinister situations of our day. These all came to power, as did numerous others who came into the United States in the Rosebud years, from the beginning of the recognition of Soviet Russia to the acceptance in America of an extensive fifth column. I point out to you that when World War II began, under the initiation of the machinations of these enemies of Christian civilization, that President Roosevelt was under a secret commitment. And that commitment, my friends, whether the Jews of Washington or the world, that he would direct the power of this nation against Germany and destroy Germany for them. To do this, he said he had to have an attack, and he precipitated the crisis that introduced Pearl Harbor. He knew all about it before it happened. He created the conditions that produced it. He tried to keep America ignorant of what was coming, and even tried to shield off the Army and the Navy so the blow would be great enough that he might do anything he wanted to after it happened. And Pearl Harbor today is the responsibility of the dead Mr. Roosevelt and the Jewish advisors behind it, the catastrophe was of their doing. And we tell you that out of the course of these events, we emerged a party of a great war. In the course of this war, unprecedented refugees slipped into this country, supposed to be fleeing from Germany, and almost every one of these refugees coming in here was a communist or a pro-communist and was a traitor to all the causes of Western civilization. In fact, in their organizational writings, we discover now that they admit to such books as The Fighting Ghettos that they were fighting an underground war and waging war against that government even during these periods of time. In fact, whenever a people wage war against the government in the land in which they live, and if they lose it, it's the fortunes of war. If they get shot while the fighting goes on, that's their own fault. And so we point out to you that during those periods of time, the same powers that were seeking to destroy you, that were betraying the world, had precipitated a great world conspiracy, and now they hope they were going to crush you out. You know, the World Communist Program said we have two major objectives. One of them is to destroy the geopolitical heart centers of the Western Christian world. The United States of America was considered one of those geopolitical heart centers, and Germany the other. Now, I want to point out that it was during those periods of World War II that you joined under again the leadership of Mr. Roosevelt and his State Department into an alliance with Soviet Russia. You had not only recognized the Soviet Union with the hands of its leaders dripping with the blood of the murder of Christians, but now you had joined yourself as an ally to the Soviet Union in the guise that this war move of joining yourselves as an ally with her was destined to stop the scourge that would wipe out all civilization. I tell you, you have never been in greater danger than you are at the hands of little communism. But you joined in that struggle, and I could see the blueprints of world Jewry and organized communism laughing because they had America and Britain and Germany fighting one another while she was your ally but stayed way, way back on the sidelines as long as she could, hoping that we would destroy each other. And then after the bombing and the strafing and the intense military power of two-thirds of the world had reduced somewhat the strength and resistance of Central Europe, isolating and cutting off its supplies of material, Russia moved like a fiend of devils across and into Europe. If there's any one thing someday you may be happy for, it's how much of the Red Armies and how much of the Red Columns were smashed and destroyed when Germany crossed in to the Soviet Union and into the Ukraine and on up into the Russians. I want you to always remember that there is no way that you can ever trust the Soviet Union at any time. It has a long record of breaking every agreement, including the non-aggression pact that it signed way back before the war started between von Ribbentrop and Mr. Molotov. They said that they would never invade the map of Europe, and if German troops would never invade the areas of the Russians, and before that ink was dry, it was the Soviet Union that was invading Finland and even Poland. There was no agreement, and there was no excuse for the invasion of Poland by the Soviet Union. But this, of course, was one of the areas of her expected domination, and she had already influenced through the government and all through Poland to carry out her objectives. She had used and created with the Jewish situations the crisis that precipitated war by manipulation and by activity that started out of Poland. When we look back on these situations, we can see that one great area of our mistake was that we'd made an alliance with death and with hell. Now this ally was letting us produce most of the sinews of war, all while she took most of the gains out of such agreements. Remember when Franklin Delano Roosevelt met with Mr. Stalin and Mr. Churchill, and you remember the pictures of them seated on a battleship as they were talking over what was going to happen in the post-war world and how they were going to divide their authority and power? And at that time, a president of the United States was joined with the Soviet Union. Well, let me assure you that in those days it was Mr. Stalin that was calling every trick, and all they had to do was bemuddle the mind of an American president with vodka. He didn't know what he was doing, and men like Alger Hiss to advise him had been put in there by the Jew Frankfurter, and there wasn't any doubt about the reactions. We were being outdealt at every turn. I point out to you that from those days on, we watched the great catastrophe develop. The men of influence moved by the powers of darkness gained more and more influence inside of America. And during those periods of time in the guise of war emergencies, portfolio after portfolio of authority was submitted by your Congress as a temporary measure or as a war measure. And they were never relinquished by those presidents from that day to this, and they kept the emergency going, and then by decree and by agreements and by other situations, they have retained almost all of the wartime power that was supposedly temporary that they had conned Congress into giving them. I point out to you to remember that the design of world communism is the conquering of the world. That the overflowing scourge that first penetrates nations to bring in the powers of darkness is organized world Jewry. I want you to know that God Almighty has warned you concerning your agreements with death and with hell, because these children of Lucifer will come in and they will then make themselves the masters in your own land. You made your covenant with death and with hell. You've been in agreement. And when the overflowing scourge starts to come through your country, it shall not come unto us. For we have made our refuge lies and falsehoods have we hid ourselves, and we have been fed in newspapers and magazines and press falsehoods and lies from the days of Roosevelt to the present time. We have been made false promises, and we have had the whole concept of our concepts of enterprise and production distorted and twisted. We have watched the government confiscate areas of business and confiscate areas of security and upset the whole standards of thinking concerning thrift and security that were taught to us by our forefathers. the government operating in areas which, if you and I as a citizen operate in those areas, they'd throw us in the penitentiary for fraud, for falsifying papers, and for mishandling of funds. But now we are told that indebtedness and operations in these areas must be perfectly all right. As president after president advanced the debt limit of this nation, till now it's over $1.25 trillion. I point out to you then the overflowing scourge has come in, and we listen to the lies of Mr. Roosevelt, we listen to the little lies of Mr. Truman, we listen to the promises that they could not maintain. And we watched the gradual defeat of free nations and areas of the earth where the influence of their political leaders were felt. I think that you should remember that the advisor to Mr. Truman on Asiatic affairs, when we double-crossed Kai-shek, forced him into collision, watched him leave the mainland of China, was none other than Dean Lusk, who was the advisor at that time to Mr. Truman. I want you to remember tonight when that spurious note that removed General Douglas MacArthur from his command in Korea was written, the man who penned that note to General Douglas MacArthur discharging him was Dean Lusk, our present Secretary of State. I want you to remember that the policies of Mr. Lusk continue to demonstrate to those that observe it that he's a part of that group of individuals mentally and intellectually conditioned for the kind of abject appeasement that ends us up in a world socialistic power under the sovereignty of evil. I think it's a rather significant thing that right now, if you would get last week's United States News to see what the foreign policy of the United States is, that you'll find that both Mr. McNamara and Mr. Lusk, Mr. McNamara has been completely taken over by this regime, and behind them is this unprecedented advisory leadership with the Balls and all the others that are working for this direction, the Bells and the rest. Now, what does the design call for? It calls for the fact that America and Russia must come to bear nuclear agreements and between the two, an appeasement must be made that will satisfy the Soviet Union and the creation of a sphere of administrative influence between America and the Soviet Union. No resistance, no problem. The surrendering of the world to this kind of a program, even pressured by America on any country that even talks about resistance in some areas to either the Soviet or the communist design. I think you can watch this influence. Back in the days when Kai-shek was fighting for his existence and came back to Formosa, he promised he would return, and our nation and our Congress promised that we would back Kai-shek, and we hoped for his return. When we had great generals with military genius like MacArthur looking over the situation, he as well as Stratemeyer, Wiedemeyer, and others knew what was necessary. With a strong and powerfully armed Korea, backed by the United States against North Korea, which had started the war in Korea, and with a bombing assault against the great supply lines of the mainland of China, with arms put in the hands of nationalist China, and the bombarding capacities of our 7th Fleet, and the support of our Air Force, there would be no communists on the mainland of China this side of the upper steps tonight. In fact, we should have permitted Asia to fight communism on its own soil because this was their battle. All they wanted was the sinews of war. But the master strategists out of your covenant of death and hell had determined that this was not to be. I point out now that we look out over the world in this hour to see what's transpired. We've made our covenants, we made our leagues, we made our alliances, and both at the Yalta agreements and at Potsdam, both President Roosevelt and President Truman made agreements for the dividing of the world up with communism. And when the war was over, we discovered communism with half of Europe because Mr. Eisenhower, at that time supreme commander on the fields of battle, had surrendered whole areas to the Soviet Union by occupying them when we could, refusing the surrender of whole areas of Europe. And we find him part and parcel fitting into the strategy of one half of Europe tonight behind the hands of communism, the problems of Berlin, the crisis of the Berlin War. You might have expected that you couldn't go down the road much farther. I want you to know that there has steadily increased in your land the influence of the forces of darkness until these enemies of your faith and your religion have now a predominant influence in the cabinet of the President of the United States. And they have demonstrated in the last week their predominant influence in affecting the thinking of the Supreme Court of these United States. I want you to remember this, and as you go out again, I want you to think on this, and don't ever forget it, that the present Supreme Court decision banning prayer in our public schools, and with the other interpretations which reach out to even more deadly areas, talking about eventually any government concept of activity. This will involve chaplains in our Congress before we grow, and chaplains in our Army and Navy. This will involve oaths of office and allegiance. This will involve the oaths of the President or of cabinet members. It is the desire of organized jewelry in the United States to knock out all of Christ and all of the service of God from your lives. It helps in our materialistic conquest as it helped in the Soviet Union. I want you to investigate, if you will, all of these cases in this state, the cases in New York, the cases in New Jersey, the cases down in Florida. Who was it that was trying to knock out prayer out of the schools? Who was it that was trying to knock out the name of God? It was the American Jewish Committees, and it was the Anti-Defamation League attorneys, and it was the Jewish attorneys. In every instance, the predominant suit was led against the schools of the state by Jewish organizations. It was Jews that said this was distasteful to them. Even in tomorrow's Times, as they try to explain why the decision was made in the editorial page, they said it was made to lift the pressure off of little Jewish children that wouldn't want to be embarrassed by listening to prayers to a God that they don't believe in, a different religion. Let me tell you that all these little Jewish children, vipers, and their parents leave America and go where they can pray to their kind of God. And when Dr. Swift, you shouldn't call them little vipers. Jesus said they were a generation of vipers, and he knows what he's talking about. I've never found Jesus wrong on anything. Significantly, then, let me point out to you what's happened to you as a nation. You made your covenant with death and with hell. You permitted your leadership that was under the hands of undue influence, and many of them virtually hypnotized by the powers of darkness, to follow the instruction of this evil power. You relaxed with the strength that the numbers of your millions made you the preponderant majority. No danger to your society. No one could overthrow it. But you watched the minority moving out of the minority area, gaining the most important principal positions of authority, until they are putting such pressure on you that they dare to use their influence to deny you your rights. I believe it is the bounden duty under God of every citizen in the United States to resist the Supreme Court decision on prayer, even to the point of having their children stand up and pray before the schoolroom when it starts in the morning. Even Dr. Smee of the local Methodist church in downtown Los Angeles exploded today and said, I don't know where I'll be in the pulpit next week, but he denounced the whole decision, irrespective of where his denomination goes. I want you to know that we're in an hour when the challenge is going deep, and people are beginning to realize that it's a lot later than they thought. They never thought this great nation, the power of Antichrist, would reach the point where they would try to officially knock religion out of this great Christian nation, but it's come. Now, what did God say? He said that overflowing scourge will start passing through your land. And that overflowing scourge has been passing through, and everybody paying taxes knows that they're in there with their hands in your pocket. I want you to know that if you knocked out all the Jewish rascals in government, you could run the nation on one half what it costs today. You know, I think it would be a good idea while they're checking up on Estes that they go back from the beginning and check all of the relations between the Kaiser interests and the United States government. I think you'd find another story of millions and millions of dollars and no accounting for it, and from one to another, and subsidizing and confiscation of the property, and then putting it back in his hands for a few dollars. Fortunes built, unprecedented power, the secret of manipulating jewelry in your economy. That's no excuse for Mr. Estes, but if they get everybody associated with Mr. Estes, why, we'll have to send an entire new bunch of people to Washington. Won't be anybody doing any work there. Texas isn't having much to say about this at this time. There are thousands of good Texans, and I want you to know that they have lost the great strength of leadership they once had because they haven't done anything about what's been going on in their own state, and they haven't taken the resistance they should against this inroad to the government into their state rights. They talk, but now we want to hear from Texas. We want to see Texas and the rest of the South stand up and say they'll not take God out of our schools. We want to see that across the entire South. It may happen. But I want you to know that this is a rather significant hour that you're standing in. And God Almighty's promised there's some things He's going to do. One thing He's going to do, He's going to disannul your covenant with death and with hell. Now, the program of the present State Department, I can prove it to you, even as to the releases of this week, is to make some kind of a coexistence program for administration and leadership of the world between you and the Soviet Union. This would be an alliance with death that would destine millions and millions of people to a long and permanent suppression by the forces of evil. This is not your destiny. This is the destiny of the master planners who think they'll also reduce you to the same kind of abject slavery. It was Mr. Schlesinger, the president's advisor and one of his present front contactors who wrote a little while ago one of the great developments was going to be socialism, and as socialism operated gradually and slowly into democratic lines, it was going to take over the entire political life of America. It had to be done so slowly that people didn't realize it had happened until after it took place. And the other day when challenged about this, Mr. Schlesinger said he had not changed his plans or his thinking one bit. And he admitted, my friends, in this past week, therefore, that he's for socialism and for the socialism of America. A man like this should not only be removed from the cabinet, he should be given a little mental treatment because it's necessary that he be examined. The same goes for the Salingers and the whole bunch that we have around the president at this moment. All right. Let's take a look tonight at the world. Under this spreading influence of socialism, we watched the design to knock out Christian leadership over all the colonial outposts of the world. You saw what happened in Congo after they forced its liberation, even though communists inside among the Negroes and the witch doctors planned on the rape and the massacre of the whites in the Congo. We told you before it came, 9 months before anything happened, we told you what was going to happen when they got their independence. We point out to you, my friends, that this is not only true there, but what happened to Goa in India, what happened down in the areas of the Portuguese colonies of Angola, and what today is happening in Indonesia is a part of the world conspiracy. You know, at this very moment, the Soviet Union, while she's in deep trouble because nothing in socialism really works, it operates as a great demagogue confiscation program for an imperialistic bureaucracy that it cannot supply. Tonight, the Soviet Union doesn't have as much food as they should have. They don't have consumer goods. They have all kinds of production problems. And more than that, they have trouble with their own allies. The great power of China, while basically still communist, still an ally of Russia in an event of war, is not only thirsty for immediate war, but also is short of food and is short of the necessary commodities it needs for its civilian population. This does not necessarily make for peace because she plans on invading and seizing as much as this from other countries. Russia's production line is not as heavy as it might be and isn't supplying the weapons fast enough for the Soviet, the Red Chinese designs for conquest. We're being told that Russia's worried about Red China. But this is not altogether the problem. He just doesn't want Red China to rule the situation. He wants to rule it. It's just a little falling out among the master thieves. But you're involved in a crisis in Laos, you're involved in one in the Vietnamese areas, and you're involved in one in the Thailand where you put thousands of Marines. Though in the strange acquiescence policy, the president's going to bring those Marines home now since we brought a nucleus government into Laos that'll make the same conspiratorial damage to the Laos that it made to the Chinese. In the meantime, why Mr. Khrushchev wants to step up the problems of the world. He wants everybody in trouble because he's in trouble, and he wants them in trouble to take the pressure off of him. And so he's been stimulating all the trouble he could with aircraft and assistance for the taking over of all Lao and all the Vietnamese areas. He's been backing the Red Chinese in this area to create the problems of trouble. He's also, first was concerned over the fact that the Chinese build up on the mainland the coming invasion of the pescadores and the offshore islands was going to involve a major world war, which he didn't want. However, he's still supplying material, and he's not as reticent as you might think about the troubles over Formosa. The Red Chinese see also an opportunity to transfer their starvation program to another great news headline that they're going to invade Formosa, and they're going to take the pescadores.
But what about all the willy-nilly appeasers inside the Kennedy administration? What about the traitors in the State Department? What about the echelon that wants to turn the world to communism because they believe they've got gains to make? Well, they're saying the blame is on Mr. Tyshek. He's been building up his troops. He's been planning to return to the mainland. And we won't let him do it. Mr. Kennedy said, you can't do it. So therefore, they said, now, the Chinese built this up to defend themselves. So the Chinese took advantage of that. They've been crying it's going to be necessary for them to seize these islands to defend themselves. And then every once in a while, whereas you get an assurance that we're going to defend the Pescadores one day, and Matsu, the next day you hear, well, maybe we won't. We'll have to see just how it goes and whether it's a good investment. But we warned Mr. Tyshek that while we would help defend Formosa, we would not support his retaking any part of the mainland. You know what we are doing? We are guaranteeing red communism its ultimate victory. This is a part of the death in hell agreements. Whenever you tell a people you can only fight defensive wars, that you can never move out with an aggressive attack to regain your own territory, you're saying you can never win. The best you can hope for is a draw and possibly a loss. Someone said it's not necessary that we go back and take the mainland of China and Asia from communism. Then let me tell you that 300 million peoples in the lowlands and over 575 million peoples in the areas of India and the back countries, and also up across all of the Chinas, a total of some 563 million of people to the upper steppes in the smaller countries that are involved have been doomed to communism, and no hope for their breaking out and overthrowing this thing, because you have little men in Washington, too small to be counted in numbers, that have supported this conspiracy because of the scourge that's come in and the amount of gold the scourge carried in its pocket. There is no doubt at this moment that these are some of the problems. Someone said, what's the great problem in America? Why all this graft? Why all this upset? Because we in America have had one of the greatest moral decays in history. We have today inside of this nation one of the most unprecedented demonstrations that when you let these strangers of evil and you let these racketeers in and they start manipulating your economy and stealing from the public, they make it popular. More than that, people try to protect themselves from confiscation, become involved in all kinds of the traps that are involved in the legislations of these processes, and we have been watching a great moral decline. In America, the overflowing scourge that came in with money. A strange thing that they were freeing so many of them behind the Iron Curtain, the Soviet Union, and land over here with their pockets full of money. I want you to know tonight that the motion picture industry, that most or a large part of the magazine industry, especially in the entertainment field, and most of the newspapers in the United States are controlled or manipulated by the Jews. And I want you to know that one of the things that hurts a great nation like this is the moral decline. The strange panorama of all of the lucid designs of the enemy to make your society become depraved. I tell you, I charge the corruption of the motion picture industry, a Jewish design with its weird processes to put America on one of the greatest sex binge declines in history. They will understand what it takes to destroy a nation, and most of the dope traders in America have been directed by world jewelry as they were in Europe. I want you to know the great conspiracy to get America to become a nation of alcoholics, to get them to move out of all patterns of temperance, to get them so completely involved that the advertising, the pressure on them is greater in this area than almost any other as a part of a Jewish conspiracy. I want you to know that there are less than 6 distilleries and 4 brewers in all the United States that are not owned by organized jewelry, international Jewish banks. I point out to you now that when we slip down on these situations that have transpired in our country and watch how manipulated minority groups have raised the conditions of crime and violence until it's not as safe in the streets of Washington or the streets of San Francisco or Oakland and areas of Los Angeles as it is the streets of lots of the cities of Europe, it's become less safe in free America because of the handling of the conditions in this nation as the powers of darkness, the overflowing scourge that passes through, stirs up the minorities in your nations to war against you. The increasing panorama of juvenile delinquency, the high demonstrations of the disease pact that rules upon a nation that violates divine law. Did you know that you have today one of the highest levels of venereal disease of all the nations of the world, though you're one of the most enlightened nations, and this is a part of the Jew programs of extended brothels and corruption and situations that are involved, and you have in your nation a more infectious program to sow disease by shock processes into the people of your society than almost any part of the world. Do you know that they are making people sick? They are sowing germs and spreading death by the shock process, and some unscrupulous forces tied to this know that these victims will someday be their income. Someone said, how do you save America from this? Well, the first thing you do is get rid of the overflowing scourge. Yes, America, were it not for the grace of God, for the great number of 145 million Christians that are asleep, if it were not for God's grace, for His covenants and His promises to you, His family, I'm going to tell you that America would go down destroyed by the rotting evil that has moved into your nation. That's no part of you, but makes you their poison and makes you their victim. Listen, I read here again, therefore, the scourge comes through. And then God makes His declaration against what He's going to do. He says, I'm going to lay in Zion the foundation stone, the tried stone, the precious stone, the sure foundation. This, my friends, is the strength and the power of Christianity. And God said, this is what's going to happen. These people who also have made lies their refuge, these who like overflowing waters invade your land and have sought to overflow your society, the Lord says here that they're not only going to be swept away, but the great struggles, even the hails, the bombs, and the catastrophes of upheaval are going to sweep away their refuge. You look out upon the world of crisis. Your nation's influence is not thrown where it should be because of the influence of this covenant that you have. Soviet Russia stirred up Sukarno in Indonesia to try to seize French Indonesia, or Dutch Indonesia. He supplied the planes, he supplied the equipment, and you supplied all kinds of money at the same time to this dissident Asiatic empire trying to overthrow the Dutch holdings in the Pacific. In fact, my friends, in the last few days there has been bitter fighting. The Dutch have captured some 500 Indonesians, but submarine warfare and air strafing is attacking these areas. Do you know what the leaders of the Dutch said last week? The Dutch said, we're not being defeated by Mr. Sukarno. We're being defeated by our friends, the United States of America. They're turning communism loose and Asiatic communism in Indonesia. They said the President of the United States and his cabinet are forcing us into a two-year agreement to transfer authority over to Sukarno. We could hold out against the armies, but we cannot long survive the American pressure. My friends, if the bombs fall, if the judgment started, if God visited upon you the chastisements that are deserved by nations that violate the principles of His law, it would only be recompense for what has transpired in this nation. But while you slumbered and slept, the enemy came in and sowed the tares. The tares have come to their fall, and God Almighty said, I'm going to redeem my people. He's promised not only your security, but He's promised to disannul your covenant with death and with hell. It may start on the 31st of July or thereabouts in the Formosan Strait. It may start by a hostility that will involve the Soviet Union in you. It may start by the anger of an America soul crying out against the evil that has demonstrated itself in Washington, that they sweep the whole thing clean. But God Almighty is going to sweep away all this evil, and there will be no place left for them to hide in these United States. I turn again, and your covenant with death and with hell shall be disannulled. Your covenant and agreement with hell shall not stand. I'm not going to discuss with you the treachery that you were not a part of, but those in power were. The betrayal of Hungarians when they were fighting against the hordes of Zhukov. How could you expect too much help for them when Mr. Zhukov was Mr. Eisenhower's best friend? Do not forget the things that have happened all over the world in these years, as the light has been dimmed for people who look to America with hope because of its leadership. But if they knew how the hearts of America pulse, if they knew how the majority of American people felt. If they knew that they would rise to help throw communism down and help liberate the world, they'd feel a lot better. But they are not getting very much of this because of the controls over press and radio.
I want you to know that only a repentant nation, only the great strength of Christians in this nation, asking God to have mercy on their sleepiness, calling for God to stimulate within them a great wave of understanding and a mighty, powerful new courage, and who pledge themselves to sweep all this evil out of America, can hold back the chastisements that are due.
Oh, there will be some chastisements, but I think they're going to fall on the Bronx and on the areas of the concentration of the enemy of God's kingdom. There's even going to be battling in the streets before this is over, according to prophecy. But listen, that scourge is not going to remain in God's house. Today, my friends, that all agreement is broken off between you and the Soviet Union. The day you get out of the United Nations, and the day that America declares itself again free with a new declaration of independence, reaffirming the old one, the world will take on hope. God says, I'm going to disannul this if I have to trigger a bomb. You know, they're worried about somebody firing the first bomb. God said, with his hail that comes down out of the sky, we're going to break up the agreement. Someone said, where are we going to hide? Well, I found people climbing way up into the mountains and digging holes back in the rocks, and they were getting ready to hide. I talked to preachers that and some of their people that were building retreats deep into the mountains. They were getting old mine caves already, so they got some place to bury and hide. So I had some clergymen ask me, Dr. Swift, what do you think about this? Don't you think this is the thing to tell our people to do? Well, I said, you got a problem. Maybe you can go in there and dig out a hole. Maybe somebody else can. I don't know how many provisions you got, but when these people come up there, how do they live? How do they support themselves? You can't carry this. Who's going to carry this? Well, he had some kind of idea, I guess, that the manna was going to be carried there by the ravens. But the great problem is that the ravens were Arabs, and we don't have very many Arabs. We've got a lot of Jews over here. They're not going to make any deliveries. Someone said, don't you think we ought to try the rocks and the mountains? My friends, when you get through doing the job of God, your enemy's going to be hunting for the rocks and the mountains, and we're going to follow him right into the rocks.
Tells me in here, in that hour when the glory of God's revealed and the trumpet call is made, the mighty armies of heaven are moving in, says all the enemies are going to hide in the rocks and the mountains. They're going to say the mountains fall on us. Someone said, what about the grace of God? Well, you know, the most gracious thing God can do is eliminate the scourge that worries the earth. Someone said, what about the spirits of these people? You let God take care of that. He's a God of justice and a God of spirit. He knows more about that than you do. But the most important thing you can do is to occupy the earth where God sends you. Yes? We have reached a turning point in our national history. We have reached the place where your Supreme Court is declaring war on your religion. And I point out to you that this is creating the greatest revolt in the history of Congress. All over, the people are rising up in every denomination. The people are crying out. And as Congress is talking about passing new legislations and opposing this decision, this very week, in fact today, in tomorrow's papers, Senator Richardson of Virginia says that he's going to lead in the Senate for a resolution repudiating the Supreme Court decision. In fact, there are a lot of congressmen that are immediately putting a bill in, but we've got one dirty Jew who's the head of the Judiciary Committee, a man named Emanuel Seller. And Emanuel Seller, that little Jew, is going to sit on all the legislation in Congress. He said, I support irrevocably the decision of the Supreme Court. Why wouldn't he? Because the Jews want to wipe out Christianity and Christ. Now listen. No one else can say we're wrong, because you can go home and find out who started every one of these cases. The Jews started it, and America should know this. Too many people are talking about the Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court decision is bad. It's the Jews that started it and put the pressure on to get this decision. You say, how did Mr. Frankfurter vote? Oh, he was a cunning Jew. He didn't vote at all. He was smart enough not to vote because he knew that his people started it, and he better not say anything about it, or our pressure would come on and it wouldn't look so good. So he just kind of didn't say anything about it. Then on the air the other night in a forum, Jerry Lewis and a couple of other Jews said,
Well, we're opposed to the decision of the court as it related to prayer. This is because they thought that would kind of mollify the people and they wouldn't know who's doing it. We don't care what an individual Jew or any front Jews on shows or others we have to say. This is a Jewish conspiracy, and Jewish magazines and Jewish newspapers and Eyewitness and these other papers are talking about the victory of the decision and the design to utterly eliminate all phases of religion from our national and our state level of life. So we point this out, be alert, and then tell it. Let America know from whence it comes. No one of the next areas to go. Mr. Nehru's life is in the balances. He's a sick and tiring and dying old man. Krishna Menon, who's one of the most evil men in all Asia, who's already in the rig with the Soviet Union, a deadly enemy of the United States, will be the next master of India. And in this instance, he's planning on a coalition submission to create a Soviet state out of India with himself as the master. And out of it is going to appear as the peace man who can settle the problems that relate to China, India, and Russia. But you know what's already pledged? Deep inside of India is the temples of Kali. And the cult of Kali is strong, and Krishna Menon belongs to it. You know what the cult of Kali is pledged? It is sworn with the Avengers, which is the most powerful force inside of Red China, that they will never rest or sleep until they had utterly subordinated the Western Hemisphere and reduced America to a vassal state to Indian and Chinese communists. That's the goal. Or you say we shouldn't resist, we should sit back and trust Kennedy. If you did, within 5 years from now, Red Chinese and Indians would be invading your continent. We point out to you this tonight, that every intelligent Christian should be calling on their representatives to break their covenant with death and with hell. Should be repudiating all socialism and all communism. Should be repudiating all that it stands for. But most of all, you should repudiate the evil that's seeking to destroy your morals, destroy your ethics, destroy your whole standards of life and the integrity of your representatives. You should be calling for the removal of the scourge. America should start making this the vanguard people that come here to destroy our faith. Should not remain in these United States, especially when we can establish dual regions for so many of them. So I say this tonight. We don't wish the world evil. We wish that darkness and superstition faded from every corner of the earth. We wish that people settled down in every nation of the earth to apply themselves to the business of supporting themselves and their families, and apply themselves to the diligence of using such knowledge as has been made available to meet their food supplies and the problems of their society, to turn from superstition and worship of God of liberty and freedom, and to relieve themselves of the pressure of the tremendous evil power of their evil priesthoods. Did you know that the priesthoods of Asia get 85% of the livelihood of their people? 85%. Did you know that the temples of India control in gold and in jewels today over 90% of the nation's entire wealth? Do you know that they've got more money in gold in the temples of India than any place else on the face of the earth, including the Vatican? Again, I want to point this out to you. The king went to Mexico. We will not say long live the king because we don't feel that way about him. When the king arrived in Mexico, they all came out and bowed down and said, "Hail the king." And they got together, the President of the United States and the President of Mexico, but very seldom did they say, "His Excellency, the President of the United States." They just said, "Hail JFK." When he came down to the tombs of those soldiers and laid the great wreath upon it, they didn't say, "This is laid by the President of the United States to honor the Mexican war dead." He put it there in the name of John F. Kennedy. Maybe you watched it on television. Maybe you heard the speeches. Maybe you heard what he said. "I present this in the name of John F. Kennedy." Here and there it was John F. Kennedy. Then a good lobby yesterday. They conferred the supreme honor that can be laid by Catholics on anyone, on the wife of the president, and they made her the dame of the Guadalupe Shrine, and they placed upon her the highest order that could be placed upon her by the Catholic orders of all of Mexico. We make no criticism of the fact that we disagree theologically with many Catholic positions. It is not just a battle against the church, but they are hailing this man who is largely due to the pressure brought upon them by their own hierarchy, because this was the first Catholic president of the United States, and it was also the first one to come down there as such. But when he went down, he didn't go down like any other president ever visited Mexico. You know, the United States government has never properly endorsed or recognized, according to their opinions, the Mexican Revolution. We never authorized or supported, at the time of that revolution, the revolution against Spain of the Mexican government. You see, the Mexicans have always been torn up with revolutionaries, and in most of the history of these revolutionaries, there was bandit chief against bandit chief. They have continually harassed and warred against America, and America has not supported any of these basic regimes. The present regime has been always threatening toward us. Yesterday, upsetting all protocol and portfolio and president, the President of the United States, the day before yesterday, told Mexico that their revolution and ours were just alike. That in this brotherhood of these two revolutions for freedom, we had a union and a bond, close as brothers. And therefore he pledged that America would never interfere with any of the Mexican decisions, and Mexico, of course, was not to interfere with ours, but the support of Mexico, irrespective of what she did, was assured by America. Now, I don't know why we got to go around promising to support the world, do you? One moment the Mexicans don't want any gringo money down there, and the next moment we got a president down there jamming it down their throats. Then the next moment they want us to give it to them with no strings on it. And Mexico is supporting Castro. Mexico wants America to leave Castro alone. And the State Department, my friends, have a lot to go along with this because they're on the Russian side. They want us to accept the fact that Castro now is like Mr. Tito, independent from Russia, but a friendly communist state, and then we subsidize them to keep them from going back into Russian hands when they actually have built already the launching pads to launch missiles at our eastern seaboard cities. Well, I would expect it out of a president that didn't have enough sense to put enough troops in to win the first invasion of Cuba. Let's face it, Mr. Kennedy didn't put enough in to win, and now he's lost his nerve. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight that God Almighty is going to open up the season very soon. These words come again in this crucial hour, a year of great measurements measured in the sky. I'm going to use the hail to break up your covenant with death and with hell. As Christian Americans tonight, who not only love the program of God's kingdom, its grace, its liberty, its mercies, its blessing, as Christian Americans tonight who love Christ in His name and who are furious with anger over the attempt to remove this from our schools and our national life, who are aware now of the evil from whence it comes that scourges our lands and afflicts us, confiscates our monies and our fortunes and distributes it into the hands of darkness, destroying the blessings that God has given us, even as the parasites of Job. As Christian Americans, God has called on you then to not only pray for strength, but to use your influence to lead men and women everywhere in your nation to call for an overthrowing of the evil. I tell you that every Christian should write his congressman and protest the Supreme Court decision and cite that they hope it will not be accepted. It's no law of the land that we accept. I think it's time that we wrote our congressman to say, this court has so lost the respect of the people that we do not respect it, and that's the way it'll have to stand. We should call on the President of the United States to become an American and a Christian again and repudiate the decisions of this court, or else he ought to abdicate in favor of someone else. He threatened one day to abdicate. Let's ask him now to do it. As I said this afternoon, there is a merciful providence that looks over your land, and he says that they don't, that the soul that disagrees, the soul that seeks to belittle me in my kingdom, that deals treacherous with me, he says, I'll cut that off. I'll take it out of the way like an unprofitable branch. We stood one day a people in bondage because of the crookedness of this evil priesthood. And in that hour, God raised up a leader who stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Today, in this great nation of God's kingdom, we are as though we are in bondage in our own land. We are not going to go, but we should be praying God for the exodus. Now, let me tell you this. In that day, God sent the death angel over the land of Egypt. And for the tyranny and for the slavery and for the violence which they had led against you under the same dark priesthoods with their strange faces that caused you trouble, the death angel caused the loss of life in home after home. The death angel is still at the command of the Eternal, and I'm going to assure you that at your need, that death angel can stalk Washington, D.C., while citizens pray, while citizens denounce the evil, while citizens repent of the evil that has been joined to them, that death angel can stalk Washington. And if the death angel is sent by the Most High God on Washington, D.C., to help disannul your covenant of death and of hell, you're going to discover that you won't have to have impeachment proceedings. God will take and prune away the branches that are unprofitable to the vine of His kingdom. So and so, we shouldn't pray that way. Let me tell you, you were told to bind the darkness and the roots to light. I tell you, the time has come when we ask God to bind the darkness and prune the vine. If you haven't got courage enough to say, prune the vine, because you're worried about yourself and you get an adjustment with God and still say, prune the vine. For today, as we would invoke the blessings of God upon His sons and His daughters and men who, with the goodwill in their hearts born of God's Spirit, would like to see a world of true peace and righteousness and right, we would all say, Our Father, we call on You to strike with the death angel everybody that would oppose Thy kingdom and bring pain and misery and the spread of communism on the face of the earth. Whether this hits the White House, whether it hits the Supreme Court or the State Department, let the sickle of the death angel fall. You say, you can't pray that way. If it's Day of America, then God save America. I think it's time that America prayed that the evil that pollutes the brain of your children, the evil that takes the motion picture and television screen to turn it to propaganda and evil, let's pray that the judgment and the scourge fall to cleanse the background behind this. Let's pray that the day comes when Christians produce the programs that are seen on the video screens of these United States. So, as it was in the days of Elijah, as it was in the promises which Christ made concerning the climax of the age, we now find ourselves in this situation. If 20 years ago someone said they'd forbid prayer in school, if 20 years ago you were told that the president would break your foundations of security, would upset your economy, would threaten that you couldn't have profits, would make agreements that wouldn't give you any protection from any of the tariff programs of your society, if you were told that he would acquiesce to the powers of a tyrannical force like communism, you'd say this can't be so. All these things happen in your time. So now, therefore, there's something else to happen in your time. And that's the demonstration of God's power to deliver you His people. You know, there are a lot of things that are more deadly and more evil than death. And I can tell you in this hour that God is calling on people that would give their lives, their fortunes, and pledge their sacred honor to see that this great nation of God's kingdom stands tall and free. Do not forget that this is your day. God promised you deliverance. You're waking up. Over 31% of your nation has gone to the right. It's going to the right. Now the anger is going to sweep more people into your camp. This is the time to make hay on these mistakes of your enemy and see that everybody in America is stirred if you can stir them, and then see every representative you have and every official is stirred until the Supreme Court quakes before the blast of the sons and daughters of God. We're going to be speaking next Friday night on a blueprint of world events as it relates to biblical prophecy. An important week, a week unprecedented in history for the things that are occurring because of the rapid vortex of these events. Let me tell you, between now and the 31st of July, world-shaking events are going to fill the horizon. Don't forget the Friday night meeting as we cover a panorama of world events that are reshaping the history of the next months and years. Next Sunday afternoon, we're speaking on the mystery of spiritual birth. This is our subject next Sunday afternoon. The mystery of spiritual birth. Those of you that were here this afternoon, now that we touched in part on this subject, Next Sunday afternoon, we speak on this subject of the mystery of spiritual birth. Next Sunday evening, we're going to speak on this subject, and wrath shall rise up in their countenance. This is a prophetic subject that deals with the nations of God's kingdom, and it says, and wrath shall rise up in their countenance. This is the subject next Sunday evening. Now, with your tithes and offerings, we're asking you to help us with an extensive program. We're a little down today in offerings, and we have a bigger budget than ever to meet tomorrow. We ask you tonight, with your tithes and offerings, to hold up our hands and to give as generously as you can so that we can not withdraw or have to hold back in any area of development. We have 16,000 tapes out now, and more tomorrow. Within the next 3 weeks, we'll push it to 17,000 and maybe more. But we are going to have to expand equipment to carry the load. We're increasing staff. We're doing all the things necessary to reach people all over this nation. Remember, the strength of the witness that you possess is your ability to reach people. You are reaching more people than probably any other single pulpit in America by direct messages that people are listening to all over the United States. We're going to be expanding in the air in the next few days. We're going on to a larger station with coast-to-coast coverage. And the people of the nation are going to hear more and more about God's word of deliverance and His great gospel of His kingdom. We urge you with all of your strength and with all of your vision to positively see victory, pray for truth, tell others about it. And we urge you tonight to have God guide you in your stewardship to help us meet this need of carrying out this project. It takes hundreds and hundreds of dollars to do this job. It comes from you and those that help to contribute to carrying out this program. It's 100% a safe operation, but it's a working operation. The added budget is around $500 a week, just carrying out the projects of reaching people all over the United States with the TAPE program. But this is only one phase of it. It goes into more than this when we figure the staff and the other ends of this project. But we want you to know that this is an expanding program, and your tithes and offerings make it possible. This is one time where this is one investment that you don't have to worry about whether the market's going to fall. The Kennedy bear market does not affect the kingdom of God. Everything you invest here is going to come back a hundredfold. Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit to rest upon thy people and bless this offering. Multiply to carrying forward the program of the gospel of thy kingdom, the work of thy church. And bless and multiply this offering as it's received and supply the needs of this people. In thy name we ask it. Amen.